Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cicerino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of March 22nd, 2022, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, News AF is back again and here with me to talk about all of the stories that are happening in the world. It's the eye in the sky. Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Good. I feel a little out of order, though.
Yes, a little out of order. A little out of order, of course. Tyson is not with us again, and it bears discussion here at the top of the show. We have not heard from Tyson in the last week.
He's with someone somewhere. Yeah.
He must be. I mean, he seems fine. Posting away on Facebook, Insta, influencing all of Pickleball Nation.
He's Pickle virtually world. Everywhere in the virtual world, except for here.
Except for here. We didn't hear from him last week. We have not heard from him since. Danny, I don't know for a fact. I'm starting to wonder if maybe, do you think that Tyson is holding out?
I feel as if over the past 2 or 3 years, Tyson's become more of a shark, more of like a professional, like he just all these sponsorships and everything like that. Maybe it's just finally getting to his head, or maybe he's finally just decided that he's a grown up and he's going to operate like a grown up in a grown up world. Mm-hmm. Hard to say. I mean, without any communication, I'll never know. I can only speculate.
Okay. Well, look, it's Tuesday. The show must go on. We hope to hear from Tyson. Tyson, if you're listening to us, we love you. We hope to hear from you soon. But in the meantime, we are going to continue to bring you. Well, look, we like our first job is to give the news.
That's right. Time marches on.
We have to. We made a blood pact. You know, if anything ever happens to any of us, we need to continue on. And so we have a great treat for you here today. To join us to talk about some of the world's most interesting news stories, we have with us America's urologist. Here he is, a News AF super fan, the great Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike Zahalski is here.
Oh, I got the bell also. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Woo!
Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm great. I am really excited to do this podcast. I was telling you guys that this is like my bucket list item to be on News AF.
Mm-hmm. One time you sent me a horrible picture involving a bucket.
Explain.
Oh, I sent that picture to you.
Yes, you did. Danny, don't ask.
Okay.
Don't ask. All right, trust me.
I won't.
Trust me.
This is Rob trying to make it NSFW, not me.
My imagination now is just running rampant.
Yeah,
but,
no, it's
okay.
Whatever you're imagining it for,
it's not as bad.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't all my right. patient.
Dr. Mike, so excited to have you here to talk some News AF, and that you send us News AF stories all the time.
I'm trying to be helpful. I'm always trying to help.
Have we ever talked about one of your stories that you've sent?
I think maybe
I'm sure
once.
We must have. Yeah.
I think once a couple weeks ago. But then I try to contribute. I send Rob pictures of bad fish all the time. And I'm like, fish fraud.
Yeah, Dr. Mike gets a lot of fish fraud.
I live in Florida and I know my fish.
you're at the front lines of the fish battle.
I really am. Really. Yes. And then I feel like there's a lot of stories that come up, and I think we'll hear about some tonight that it irritates me that there's not a urologist contributor on your podcast almost on a weekly basis.
Sure. All right. Well, you are the official urologist of News AF.
Oh, I'm going to put that on my
Yeah, yeah, put that on your CV.
Have you had any times when we're talking about something that has comes up in your line of work, Dr. Mike?
I mean, sure. I give Viagra to dogs all the time for esophagitis.
Yeah. Well, we've talked a lot about the many uses of Viagra.
You have no idea that I I now prescribe. So Cialis is like Viagra. It's the same type of drug. And I prescribe it almost every day because the competing drug for urination has been shown to increase your chance of dementia. And Viagra was shown, as you guys have talked about, to decrease your chance of Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, and how many times have I met an 80-something-year-old guy that's on Flomax and not a little Altacaca is what I tell people. And it's like, so would you rather be peeing well with good hard-ons and or be demented? It's like, I mean, it's not a tough sell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm just glad that in the future, when I'm faced with that decision, I'll know which one to choose.
Yeah. All right.
And if you have a problem, you can always call me.
You can always call Dr. Mike. Great person to have in your phone, except if he sends you, you know, certain photos, then not as great. Okay. All right. So anything else, Dr. Mike, that you want to set up before we talk about some news? Anything fun going on in your life?
No, I think I've just sort of settled down to working. I got three kids, two in high school. That's always fun. Three teenagers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's living the dream, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah. I want to give Danny the short shrift here. Danny, any adventures this week?
Yeah. I mean, every day is an adventure. Climbing mountains, skiing them, trying not to die. I was glad earlier in the pre-show to hear that one of Dr. Mike's dreams is to do the Grand Canyon, which I do every year. And I will warn you, Dr. Mike, that I don't know what it is about the Grand Canyon, but it will destroy your calf muscles for at least a week. You will not be able to walk downstairs without everybody laughing at you. There's just something about the Grand Canyon.
So what's the best time to do it?
Oh, well, first of all, I would recommend going from the North Rim to the South Rim. I think that's the best way to do it because then you don't have to go down the South Rim, which is just steep and it has these stairs and is awful. And the best time to do is probably October or when they open up the North Rim in the spring. So, but prepare yourself. Your legs will be damaged. You won't be able to look at or do much of anything when it comes to walking. You'll probably have to be wheeled around in a chair. It's that bad.
Wow. So okay. It's relaxing.
Prepare. Yeah.
How many days does it take you to do it?
I did the rim to rim to rim in 15 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Rim to rim to rim.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you want to invite me, I'm going to try to come.
Okay. All right. Prepare yourself mentally and physically.
I might have just invited myself.
Mm-hmm. But would you fly in a helicopter that Danny is flying?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right.
I think that's crazy.
Okay.
At least we know that's where he draws the line. No helicopters.
No helicopters.
I don't mean like those small planes either.
Okay, no small planes. Off the list.
When you die in a small plane or a helicopter, nobody feels bad for you.
No, they shouldn't, especially if you're going on your way to do something totally awesome.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Or after coming back. Actually, they should feel bad if you were on your way to do something awesome. Mm-hmm. Not bad if you were on your way back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, Danny, if you're going to go, you would rather go on the way back from doing something awesome.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. After something cool.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about some of our top stories at this hour. And we have some stories from the world of medicine that we can talk about here with Dr. Mike. And so this is a story about a woman from the UK which has been making the rounds, that they are reporting that a woman now has a quote-unquote shark hand after doctors needed to sew it inside of her stomach during a surgery. I had never heard of anything like this. I'll show the picture here on the YouTube video. Here.
This is a picture you can show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so this woman has her hand looks like, you know, a shark appendage. And apparently she had a form of sepsis and they needed to sew her hand inside of her stomach to fight the infection. Dr. Mike, what in the world is going on here?
I mean, from a purely unmedical point of view, does this look like a shark appendage?
No, that was going to be my first comment, too.
Or is it that there's an S on her hand?
Oh, I guess her hand looks like a shark, maybe.
When I heard shark hand,
it looks like Pac-Man.
It's not, you're right. It's not a flipper. Yeah. It's like a, it's more of a, like a crab hand.
Yeah, it is a crab hand. She's got, but crab hand won't grab the attention of a reader like shark hand will.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have crab week. You do have shark week. So, but I expected something far more dramatic. Maybe at least a fin, like a sharp shark fin that she could trick kids with later.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that what they're saying is that the, her hand looks like a actual shark, not like the hand of a shark. But Dr. Mike, I've never heard of this, of a person needing to have their hand sewn into their stomach.
I mean, so the only way I can relate to it is that if you have like a flesh-eating bacteria on your scrotum, you end up taking the testicles and sewing them into the thighs. So you have to remove the entire scrotum and sometimes, you know, even like the flesh of the penis.
Oh my God.
So you're going to put the testicles into the thighs to keep them sort of protected and alive. Because it's different compartments.
Can I just have them sewn into my thighs so they're out of the way? Is that like a procedure you would just do?
Yeah.
You could, but the problem is that your balls like it a little colder than the rest of your body.
That's right. That's the whole point.
Right. So then they're not going to make a good enough testosterone for you, Danny.
Instead of
climbing down the mountain, you're going to want to go on a wheelchair down the mountain.
Okay. So if you have a flesh-eating bacteria wound on your testicles, it's sewn into the thigh. But if you have it on your hand, it's sewn into a pouch in your abdomen.
I guess the question here I have is, it almost looks like she had a skin graft because where are her fingers?
Oh, they cut them off. I think I read they had to amputate them as part of the procedure due to the infection. That's what I thought I read.
Can we pull back up the picture up?
Sure thing.
Yeah, I don't know where she gets that lump of flesh from, but
it almost looks like the lymphatic drainage system in her hand is not working.
Yeah.
And so because of that, everything is really, really edematous. But that's because I think she has a big skin graft on there. Mm. So skin graft followed by tucked into the belly to sort of give it the nutrients that it needs.
Can you imagine having your hand sewn into your stomach? Like, I'm trying to picture going through my day-to-day routines with my hand sewn into my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
How does it even work?
Yeah.
Can we just sew our hands into any part of us? Could we like connect someone like a human pretzel if we wanted to?
Yeah, probably.
Are people just sewing appendages into other parts of their body? This is the first time I've heard. That's why I'm asking. Is this a more common thing? I need to get to the bottom of this. I've heard of ears being grown on mice, but I've never heard of people having their own limbs sewn back into them.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Mike, is this something that happens more than I think?
I've never heard of it before either.
Oh, okay. So it's not a common thing. I'm not going to have to start seeing people like Walmart with their hands sewn into random places and look them in the eye and have a conversation.
It's like, you know, you say to your kid, like, stop picking your butt. I can't. It's sewn in. Get your hand out of your pants. I can't.
I was thinking the nose. I wasn't even thinking the butt. I was thinking like kids picking their nose. Rob, what a story to start with. These medical ones are real.
Well, I felt like that we had Dr. Mike here. I wanted to talk about these medical stories. This is a big story today. But this woman, Stephanie King, that she's been, bravely dealing with this issue, that she just, felt a sharp pain one day. It turned out to be sepsis. Body was basically like attacking itself. I think that in this shark photo, like there's another, like she's posted some videos on TikTok, where she is like putting on makeup. I think that her hand might be like a little like engorged just from like, whatever it's soaking in.
Okay. All right. From soaking in its own body. She seemed really cheerful.
You see her, like in this photo, you see her like there, like she's in some sort of like, I don't know if that's like, something they need to soak the hand in that, but it seems like it's just like absorbed a lot of fluid.
She's just having her hand washed.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And called a bath.
There's a lymphatic, there's a lymphatic drainage problem with this hand right here. This is not a great result here. This is not the result they want. They want that swelling to go down.
Yeah, but if you take a look, there's a video of her putting makeup on, and you can see her holding the makeup brush, and her hand is like a little bit more formed here.
Right. I mean, I think over time it's going to get better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yes. So, you know, that there is a lot of attention. She's made these TikTok videos. She has a GoFundMe page as well and is trying to raise awareness about the dangers of sepsis.
Does she have a fingernail on that finger there?
Like a giant fingernail.
See, this is
hard to tell.
Can we go? I mean, also, it looks like she has a tattoo here now on the hand.
Maybe. I'm not sure exactly how long ago. It looks like she might have been tattooed before. Let's see. I don't know if the tattoo comes up any further. I think that tracks from the first photo.
Okay.
Rob's on the case.
Yeah. We're looking at tattoos.
We don't want shorthand fraud.
No, we do not. Okay. Then another story. This one was one Dr. Mike had sent our way. And this is a little bit more in Dr. Mike's wheelhouse. Dr. Mike, we have a story about a woman who thought she had a urinary tract infection. Yes. It turned out that it was actually a glass tumbler that was stuck in her bladder for 4 years.
4 years?
Yes.
4 years. I'm going to look up glass tumbler. I feel like I also don't really know what that might look like.
It looks like a shot glass.
Okay. All right.
There's a shot glass stuck in her urethra. Rob, I was really hoping that right now you would play my song.
Yes?
Yes. I mean,
okay. All right. Here is. Let me see if I can play this for you. Here is one of Dr. Mike's many theme songs, Danny.
Oh, exciting.
Yo, it's Dr. Mike from Survivor here. Let's talk about something serious. Don't stick things in your penis, but if you do, make sure you can get it out. Otherwise, you know where to find me.
Stuffing dicks ain't so nice.
Yes. But so, Dr. Mike, for this
a good
for,
PSA.
For
that's
ladies, too. Yeah. Yeah,
right? I mean, well, we talk about urethras in there. And so, I mean, here's the thing is that I'm trying to pull up the article here. Sorry.
How can you have something in there for four years?
And Danny, we haven't. So here's the thing, Danny, is that there should really be a competing segment to Danny's bolt hole, right?
Yeah.
There should be the Mike's urethra segment. People stick things in their urethra. So
I get that. I get that part. But how can you have it in there for 4 years and not bother to take it out or go in and see a doctor about that?
You don't know. I mean, they forget. They like, there's
maybe
like,
are
you having sex, like, you're playing, like somebody's down there and they're doing things with you and oops, it slips in and probably she never even knew.
Can you pee? But wouldn't this block? It's huge.
So what happened? I think it looks like that. Did a stone form around it?
Yeah. Basically, it ends up being like a nidus for infection. And so it's like whenever you have a foreign body in your body, stuff is going to grow on it.
Yeah, it's like a human pearl.
Right. And in the bladder or in the kidney, stones form on it. And so when you look at it from the outside, you're going to see it just looked like a big stone. But when you actually start chipping away at that stone and when you get a CAT scan, you're going to see a shot glass or like an x-ray because it's high. It's a different density than stone material. And I think there's an x-ray that you can pull up if you have the ability to do that.
Yeah, I can bring that up for you.
Oh, good.
Okay. Extra professional here with Dr. Mike. Okay.
So this is a great stone for my laser center, except we would never, like, you could take out a stone this size transurethrally. But when you see the shot glass, you can't take a shot glass out through the urethra. So you're gonna have to open and take it out.
Dr. Mike, our stones this size, like this is a regular size. This is a stone that you could possibly see in a person. This
in a bladder.
Well, let me give you the x-ray. So Dr. Mike, you want to take a look at this x-ray here?
Yep.
What?
This is a stone. Usually you get stones this big in men who like have a prostate. And so they're chronically obstructed. So you can have like, this is probably like a 5-6 centimeter stone. In the operating room with the right laser, you can get rid of this in about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Wow. Shooting lasers, huh?
But in a woman, you don't usually see it because it's, really big. And they don't have a prostate to obstruct them. But yeah, I mean, you see it.
How uncomfortable. That's like...
The last one this big that we saw was a gynecologist put an IUD in the wrong hole and it ended up causing stones.
Okay.
My gosh.
And a pregnant woman.
You know what?
The body.
Yes, and she became pregnant. Right. Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. Man. That'll do it. A double whammy. Yeah.
I didn't even know the body was capable of doing all these things, holding a shot glass, making a human pearl from the shot glass, sewing hands into your stomach.
Well,
I haven't been doing any of these things with my body. I haven't really tapped into the potential.
The shark hand lady can at least know that she can hold the shot glass in her bladder.
That's true.
If she can't do it with her hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She can still clamp on it. Like the crab.
Mm-hmm. And it's,
I'm excited for the next story.
Yeah.
If it's about something going inside someone.
Somewhat, Danny.
Okay. All right.
Then I'm excited too. Danny, you can listen to the whole song and you hear all the things that I've seen inside people. We've taken out multiple times at this point, cell phone chargers.
Yeah.
The entire cord.
Doesn't make any sense.
The entire cord.
I've just never met anyone who thought it was a good, maybe I have, and they just didn't want to tell me that they thought it was a good idea.
Dr. Mike, does Apple need to go back to like that, the big, giant charger, like that,
everyone's saying.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. We're just magnet charging, you know?
All right, Dr. Mike, I've got another medical story for you here. This one comes to us from Brazil, and it has to do with a woman that needed to be hospitalized because allegedly she had an accumulation of trapped gas because she did not want to break wind in front of her boyfriend.
That makes sense. This one makes sense.
Yeah.
It does make sense. I mean, here's the thing. If there's an orifice, if there's an organ that secretes stuff, you need to get that stuff out, right?
Yeah.
If the organ is making gas, you need to get that gas out.
Yeah.
Again, referencing the 21 times in that song, that was a Jenny Autumn for her.
Sure.
But she, for the prostate, it's the same thing. It's secreting. Those secretions need to come out. When they don't come out, it gets all infected. And I see probably 3 guys a day with an infected prostate because of lack of secretions being expelled.
So when I want to secrete gas, I need to tell Liz, my wife, and you say, this has to happen. I must secrete.
Maybe you don't want to use the word secrete.
Mm-hmm.
You were using the word secrete. It sounded way more medical if I say secrete.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, do you really have to ask Liz for permission to fart?
Well, let me just say, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, that I would hold my gas because for some reason when you're dating, you want to give them the impression that you don't actually have gas.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hold it for hours on end with Liz when we were dating. And then when I would drive home after hanging out with her, I would be in so much pain, not like hospital pain, but pretty close. And then, you'd try and recline as you drove home and get rid of all of that to secrete mm-hmm. all of that excess gas that you've trapped. So this article out of the all 3 that you've read, this one made the most sense to me because I can relate to the Brazilian woman.
Is it a secretion if it's gas?
There's probably particles.
Yeah.
A little liquid, a little salt. Okay. I can't say because it's so minuscule.
Yes.
The COVID masks, you sort of knew if they were working or not if I could smell the other farts.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what's smaller, fart particle or a viral particle? I don't know.
Well, I got to imagine my fart particles are pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
maybe the
thing is to get a giant patch on your underwear or your pants that can trap it. That's super tiny, like a mask. What did they do to her?
Have we not talked about like charcoal underwear?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
Somebody once asked me about that. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a joke. Did they have that?
Pretty sure we've talked about it in 6 years on News AF. Yeah. All right. So this happened to a woman, and she's a Brazilian singer. Her name is Poca, and that's how people know about this, because she posted the story on her I believe on Instagram, and shared the story of what was going on. She was interviewed and said that she woke up at 5:30 with severe stomach pains and ended up in the hospital. But that's it. She's fine. It was just an accumulation of trapped farts.
But she went to the hospital. What did they do? They just like, hey, Rick, get your butt up high, head down low.
Yeah. Dr. Mike, what would they do for that?
Well, so here's the thing. I think we wouldn't be a good podcast story host here if we didn't explain ways to prevent this and things to do about it, right? So what I would say is,
what would be the ways to prevent this?
Well, I think maybe you drink a cup of coffee, right?
Okay. Like
a little caffeine to get your system started.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Also, in more severe cases, mm-hmm.
Helps with an accumulation of gas, Dr. Mike.
I mean, it helps people poop and gas.
I guess so.
Moving the whole system along.
Right.
Right. It's basically about constipation, right? When you're holding everything back, the fluid, you end up getting constipated, right?
Right.
And so the fluids get, there's going to be more fluid absorption. So the stuff that's now in there is going to be harder. And so that stuff that's harder is now harder to get out as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that way it's now blocking the gas because it's hard.
That makes
sense. So really in the hospital, probably they had to either give her a suppository of, fluid to, mm-hmm. or they had to disimpact her to get, to get up in there and get some stuff out.
Yeah.
Right. If, to prevent this at home, if you ever have really horrible stool issues, what I recommend to my patients is to go to like CVS or their local pharmacy and get a bottle of magnesium citrate.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And it's what they use for a bowel prep for like colonoscopies.
Yeah.
You only have to drink literally like a cup of it or half a cup of it, and you should be just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
The tap will be turned on.
Mm-hmm. The tap will be turned on.
Yeah.
Or just a cup of coffee or anything with like caffeine and fluid, and it's gonna happen.
Poca then reportedly said, according to this article, girls, don't be ashamed to fart in front of your guy, because what's embarrassing is not letting your guy sleep because you're in discomfort going to the hospital with your guy. And the diagnosis being trapped farts.
This is worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
This result is far worse than whatever she could have silently squeaked out during her time with mm-hmm. her boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
Come on. That's a risk. You just become good at being like a fart assassin, just silently letting those things out. That's a skill you need to gain rather than holding it.
Right. We're all human, right, Dr. Mike?
We're all human. And I think at some point as you get older, you lose that skill.
Yeah, that is true. I think I've never been one for that, except for when I was dating Liz. Now that at home, it's like anything goes.
Anything goes.
This is a safe space. You could be as loud as you want. Mm-hmm. Probably not a good way to raise kids, because now they think it's hilarious, but
mm-hmm. yeah.
We're teaching them, right?
I hear you. How many kids do you have? Like 27 or something?
I have three.
Yeah.
I came from a family of
27.
Of
yeah.
So, yeah. But I only have three.
Okay. Dr. Mike, we always like to talk about different studies. This is one that comes to us from the United Kingdom. So maybe it's a little bit different here in the United States. They found that in a survey of 2,000 people, that 1 in 5 people admit to snacking while bathing or on the toilet.
That's gross.
Yeah, it's horrible.
That's really gross.
It's mm-hmm. horrible. I have no words, right? Like, how do you not get sick? Like, there's cross-contamination of the hands. Like, it's bad enough. Like, if 1 in 5 are eating on the toilet, what percent are playing on their phone on the toilet?
Oh, so many more than
Well, that's I think that's 5 in 5.
At least while you're eating and pooping on the toilet, you could pretend like you're just a human conveyor belt material.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be entertaining, but I am totally with Dr. Mike that eating in the bathroom is something I will never do,
mm-hmm.
let alone eating on the toilet. I won't even take a drink or a glass of water into the bathroom. To me, that place is for pooping and the kitchen is for eating, and never shall the two mix. Just not meant to be.
Yeah, I really wish that this study would have... I guess they say that 18% of people confess to snacking while on the toilet.
So it's, the number is probably higher, like 25% have snacked on the toilet.
Yeah, one-fifth say they enjoy eating while taking a bath. And 18% say that they confess to snacking while on the toilet.
Eating in the bath, the problem is the debris. Like, what do you eat? You can't eat a sandwich while you're in the bath.
Yeah, first of all, I've never heard of anybody. I mean, I guess I don't really hear people eating on the toilet, but to just talk through, Dr. Mike, have you ever seen people eating in a bath?
I mean, I guess what I'm imagining, you're in a bath and it's like, you know, you're having it, like maybe you're reading a book, you're having some champagne, like, you know what I mean? Like women relaxing in a bathtub. This is like, you know, you see this on TV. No one has ever set foot in my bathtub except like when we're washing a 2-year-old. Right? Like, does anybody actually use a bathtub anymore?
I think lots of people who want to relax. I'm with you. I'm not a bathtub guy. Never have been. But I think maybe a lot of people use it to relax.
I can see a drink in the bath.
Yeah, a drink. But they're saying a snack.
What would be the best snack to eat in the bath?
Does Liz use the bathtub?
No, she does not.
Does Nicole use the bathtub?
She does, yes.
Okay.
But I've never seen her, you know, get a snack for the bathtub.
Well, maybe she locks the door when she has the snack.
Well, Danny, I feel like that almost any snack would be not great for the bathtub. I mean, your hands are wet. I mean, what are you going to – you can't have chips. What are you snacking on?
There is no such thing as a tub snack. Now,
maybe something – Danny, maybe soup. Maybe something with a fork or a spoon.
By the way –
Tootsie Roll Pop.
Okay, a lollipop would be good. But what I just realized is maybe this is a market we could tap into. Some tidy tub food, you know, stuff that you can eat while in the bathtub.
Danny,
and not
this is perfect for you.
Shame.
Instead, look, Danny, you now are in the hot soup, okay? It's basically like the ramen noodle pack. You sit in it.
You can't eat hot soup while in the bath because hot stuff in and hot stuff out, it's just too much.
The bath is hot soup.
I would never eat soup in the bath. That actually seems really gross. I'd almost feel like I was eating the bath water itself.
Yeah,
you definitely can't eat anything hot in a bathtub.
No.
Okay, well, all right, so
no,
I mean, I wonder, maybe what if you have like maybe a bowl of ice cream, could that be a good bath food?
You know, it doesn't sound so bad. I wouldn't do it, but it actually does sound okay.
Better go quick. The hot water is gonna melt the ice cream.
Yeah, I could see that. That one's not bad.
Not terrible. But
definitely not you can't eat meatballs or like spaghetti. Yeah. Nothing too heavy in carbs.
But who's eating on the toilet?
Well,
can we get you want a list of names?
Do you lean over the bathtub to eat with the crumbs going on the floor? Or
that's
like
not bad. Yeah.
Where's your plate going in the bathtub?
On a little floaty thing. Like a boogie board you brought in. It just floats.
Yeah. Are people maybe sneaking food? Maybe this is not, I guess 18 people confess to snacking while on the toilet, but I'm wondering if maybe it's just like the bathroom. Maybe it's like, well, I don't want my wife to know I'm eating this last slice of cake. I'm going to go eat it in the bathroom, but not necessarily on the toilet.
Yeah. I like to imagine that the question was, you're on the toilet going potty and eating at the same time. There is no food you can eat. Like, what do you eat while taking a dump? A hamburger?
Chocolate?
No. Maybe some chocolate, too visual. Mm. No. I mean, there is nothing that would be appealing at all.
Yeah.
Maybe a drink? Stay hydrated? Get some coffee to keep flushing that through?
Mm-hmm.
What's the average time people spend on the toilet?
Oh, I bet it depends. It's a shocking number.
Yeah.
It depends. I asked for the average, right? So
I have no idea. I'm sure we could Google it. How long does the average person stay on the toilet? Okay.
Do we want to guess?
Mine says 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Google has told me the average duration is around 12 minutes.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's much longer. Both of those are much longer than I would think, right?
Yeah. Dr. Mike, you're bringing the average down. There's got to be on the other end somebody that's in there 25, 30 minutes.
I mean, understandable. They get hungry.
I can eat a bowl of soup in 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Long time.
That is a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in there a second longer than I have to be.
And maybe you could speed up that time if you skip the snack. Yeah. Cut that down to 9 minutes if you leave snack time out.
Where is this study from? Is this, you said this study is from England?
The UK. The study was conducted by one poll. A lot of times these studies we talk about that's like 2,000 people surveyed. It's like by Charmin put out this study.
Oh, who put out this one? Do you know?
They just say but it's put by one poll. It doesn't say who funded the study.
Dark money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dark money.
So I looked up that, you know, this is Google, but it says, Health Survey of England from 2019 estimates that 28% of adults in England are obese.
Okay.
So maybe you could decrease that by just making a rule, no eating on the toilet.
Yeah. I mean, it would not be a bad diet plan.
That's the first step. First step in dieting, stop eating in the bathroom.
Well, maybe if it's like the first rule is like only eat in the kitchen. Like, okay. Well, I mean, that's not a very restrictive diet. If you're cutting out a lot of the places that you would eat. No snacking in front of the TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
What do you think, Dr. Mike?
I like that rule.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we're going to help diabetics here today.
Okay. Right? Now, this next story might involve something that people might consider eating. Danny, Wyoming has a brand new app for its citizens who might be interested in getting to claim
roadkill.
Yeah, I was trying to find a nicer way to say that.
Is there a nicer way to say that? Deceased wildlife on the side of the road?
Is it deceased wildlife if it's not by the side of the road? Victims of are they all victim? Is all roadkill things that got hit by cars?
Vehicular homicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Danny, could you explain what's going on here in Wyoming?
Okay, this isn't a bad change in law, you know, in the law or whatever. A lot of states don't allow you to eat roadkill. My guess is, and I haven't ever talked to a legislator, but my guess is that they don't want to get into the gray area of like, why did you hit that? Or was it hit? Or, you know, how was it killed?
Because using their vehicles for hunting.
Yes. Or killing an animal to get its antlers and then running it over after shooting mm-hmm. it. I don't know, but I'm guessing they're trying to thwart the people who would abuse the system. But if you think about it, there is a ton of meat going to waste on the side of the road. I don't know how mm-hmm. people get to it in time. I don't know what the lifespan of good meat is. I don't know how good meat is after that very startling moment when an animal is hit by a vehicle. Because I was always told that the best meat is the meat that doesn't come from a scared animal. But the animal that's about to be hit by a car is most definitely scared.
Mm-hmm.
And usually
if it sees it, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I've seen probably 6 or 7 deer get hit. They always run off. I've never seen one just get hit and die.
Yeah.
So I just can't imagine the meat being any good. But hey, some people are going to put it in a stew, maybe eat it mm-hmm. in the bath. So why let it go to waste if people want to eat it? And this app.
So what do you do? Do you have to take a picture of it and then you just let them know you're claiming it?
I read this a while ago, but there is some kind of documentation process, and then, yeah, you can take it and go mm-hmm. turn it into some nice, delicious, you know, possum burgers. I don't know how possums in Wyoming, but like maybe a raccoon burger, because look, mm-hmm. we all like to think that they're hitting Wagyu beef or whatever it is, but they're hitting these like deer, elk, coyotes, probably can't eat a coyote. Maybe raccoons, maybe porcupines. I mean, is everybody taking all of that, or there's just the choicest cut of meat? It's like, oh my gosh, there's a delicious looking, you know, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. I've never eaten roadkill. I don't even like wildlife meat. Have you ever had wildlife meat, either of you?
No, I have not. I haven't.
I think maybe I've had deer once, but
yeah. People who eat it, they're like, oh, it's so good. And then you're like, oh, really? How do you prepare it? And they're like, well, I season it for like a month and a half in some of the spiciest, most powerful seasonings available. Then I cook it for 3 days. And basically, that you have to turn it into tasting completely unlike wildlife because it's just so gamey.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. If you want to move to Wyoming, Rob, you can get all the meat you want.
I've thought about moving to Wyoming because I like that it's there's no people there.
Oh my gosh.
It's very spread out. Yeah.
There's no cell phone service either.
Oh, okay. Well, that's I'm a little out. One of the people in the article is quoted as saying, you can play the circle of life card and be like, well, there is never something that is wasted. But yeah, whenever you got roadkill, it is really dangerous for any of the critters who come and try to eat it. So you're doing a favor for the other animals.
Yeah. I mean, usually roadkill, like he kind of said, the other animals are eating it. It's not like it goes to waste. Crows, coyotes,
vultures, yeah,
vultures, they're all snacking on that. But now humans get to, you know, get in there and get their share.
Yeah.
Could you explain to me why animals taste better if they're not scared when they die?
I've always just been told that a stressed animal, the meat goes bad or the meat is super tough because it releases a bunch of chemicals right before it dies. And somehow that does something to all the meat. That's what I've been told. I have no science or research to back that up. It could just be old, you know, hunter wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard that in movies before. I don't know if it's actually true.
Well, and I think that's why they say if you shoot an animal during the hunting season, that's why you have to wait because you don't want to scare the animal.
Okay. Last week, Danny Bryson came out staunchly and said, enough with changing the clocks. Enough with daylight savings time. And this wasn't even on my radar at all. By the end of the day, I believe the United States Senate overwhelmingly passed a bill that still, I believe, has to go to Congress.
Yep, has to go to the House.
To the House of Representatives. Then potentially made into a law to abolish or make permanent daylight savings time.
Permanent
daylight savings time. Okay.
Tyson lives in a world with no daylight savings. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, he's not here to comment on the pros and cons. But yes. Remember how I said I wanted to hear from all the people who love the switching?
Yes, you did. You heard from some people.
Oh my gosh, there were so many articles. All of a sudden, it's all these people coming out about the health and all the issues.
The hot take artists.
Yeah, I'm like, where were all these people for the last 40 years? Also found out they had already tried this once and that people really 70s. Got upset.
Yeah,
in the 70s.
Dr. Mike, do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, only but like mirroring what you guys are saying that, you know, all of a sudden laws, you know, there was a law that was passed. They must have been listening. And the question is it good or bad to do it? You know, there's a lot of pros. I guess there's a lot of cons. And if you're going to switch, do you switch to there's daylight savings. Standard. What's the one for daylight savings?
Mm-hmm.
Standard?
Yeah, standard time, yeah.
So do you stay at standard or do you switch to daylight savings? Which is the right time?
You can't make everyone happy. I thought about this. So we just have to pick one and go with it.
Yeah. Okay. So this one that just came up, you know, for the falling back, people kind of like the fallback. It gets darker earlier, but you get the extra hour of sleep. I feel like that the people don't complain too much about falling back. This one, spring ahead, throws people off for weeks, Dr. Mike.
Well, they say that, like, you know, I was reading one of these articles and they say that kids walking to bus stops are now walking in the dark to the bus stops.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't like that. And that makes sense. That sounds dangerous, right?
Well, the thing that I had learned about, which is that there are some places where when you are like at the most western part of these time zones, you know, like I feel like in Seattle, for instance, I feel like it's not going to be sunrise until like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. In my local news, they said the sun will not rise here until almost nine.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
I mean, it is true. In Iceland, there are times of the year where the sun never rises and the sun never sets, right?
Well, I mean, pick your poison, because then do you want to, like, isn't it the same difference of like, oh, kids are going to go to school in the dark? Well, they're going to come home in the dark.
I hated that. I hate when my kids come home and it's dark.
I guess the kids aren't coming home from school in the dark. School gets out at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Now, Rob, that's basically the dark. If it gets dark around 5:30 here in the winter, then, I mean, it's the sun is setting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I did like the fact that with all the, you know, stuff that we talk about, or you guys talk about on News AF, and all the really important stuff going on in the world, our government can come together and...
I know, right?
You know, expeditiously, you know, change time zone laws.
Out of nowhere, by the way. There was not even a debate about this.
Right. If this was an article written on April 1st, would you believe, like, would you believe the article?
No, I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally false.
It was incredible that it was just like, wait, we're doing this?
I think we should do it. I think it's time. I think we've grown up and matured as a civilization, and we're ready to ditch this stupid thing that we've just clung to for decades.
Well, is it only America?
I am not sure. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm going to look that up, because I actually did wonder that earlier this week.
I think other countries do it at their own time. Like, some of the countries do it also, which also doesn't really make sense. Like, some countries are much smaller than America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, they were smart to get out in front of it and just do it, because it didn't lend for enough time for the political parties to pick sides. They're just like, all right, quick, let's just move on this.
All European Union countries and many European non-members continue to make the switch twice a year. Mm-hmm. Outside of Europe and North America, changing the clocks is also practiced in Iran, most of Mexico, Argentina, Paraguay, Cuba, so quite a few places.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised by that. I would have thought there'd be fewer doing this.
Dr. Mike, do you think that the senators checked out what Danny had to say about daylight savings time last week, and you think that that had an impact?
Yeah, definitely. Thought leaders.
That would be awesome if we were
influencing. The leaders of America.
Yeah.
So
much power.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where we go from here. I don't think it'll happen.
If we get rid of this, next thing we need to move on to is the imperial system, and we got to get rid of it.
It
just has to happen. It's just a Band-Aid that has to be torn off.
You mean like the mathematical system?
Well, didn't they try to do that in the 70s too? I mean, the 70s was a wild time.
They did it in Canada.
Inches and feet?
Yes, get rid of inches and feet. Let's get rid of inches and feet. 5,280 feet for a mile. That is ridiculous. It is such a stupid system. Nobody else uses it in the world except for like Liberia or Libya, one of those two. We need to get rid of it. Canada proved that it could be done. I know it's not quite the same. It's an apples to oranges comparison, but let's just do it. Come on. Right. Daylight savings and then the metric system.
All right, Dr. Mike.
Fahrenheit versus Celsius, right?
Like, yes, Celsius, like yes.
Everybody else uses one and we use the other.
Yeah, yeah. Celsius. The whole metric system. Let's bring it on board.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Mike, as a man of science, would you be in favor of going to the metric system?
Yeah, I mean, when we don't talk about like ounces or teaspoons, we talk about milliliters, right? So we already use the metric system.
You do, yeah. The scientific community, doctors do. But go on.
Yes. Sorry.
That's it. I mean, we already use it. It makes sense.
Well, yeah, Dr. Mike, I mean, this could be like a great help for people that are coming to you about that if they want to have any sort of male enhancement. I mean, just simply making the switch from inches to centimeters.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they say like, I want to be like 8 inches, and I'm like, you're already like 15 centimeters. You should be happy.
Yeah. It'd be great.
Oh, 15. That's amazing. It's
like, yeah.
I'm telling you, if we all agree on this, and if tomorrow there is a law change, right, that we're using the metric system, Danny should run for president.
Yes, okay. I will run for president on just that platform, and I will totally lose by just a giant margin. Nobody wants to change that.
Yeah, but would you?
I don't know.
You need a good slogan. Yeah.
We need a study. We need some people to do a survey. Tap into the survey people and find out what they think about the metric
system. Yeah, but you got to be careful when you're asking the survey question of like, wouldn't you love to like have a simpler system for measuring? I think when you're saying like you're going to like get rid of feet and inches, people I think will get a little like, sphincter
a system
clenched.
That operates in tens rather than random numbers. That were like decided by a king's hand size or something 500 years ago or whatever it was. It's insane.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, yeah, it also requires a lot of people to relearn something, right?
I don't care.
I don't think I mean
force them.
Americans, I don't think Americans will agree to switch.
I don't think so.
Gosh, dang it.
But if they're talking about changing the
clothes, yeah, that's right.
Anything's possible.
If they could get this one through.
Nobody does. You know how you can convince people to do it? You got to convince the gas companies. The gas companies. Because, in the other countries, they charge per liter of gas.
Yeah.
And so it's much more expensive than per gallon of gas, but because there are so many liters in a gallon, but it looks cheaper.
Yeah. We're going to charge
you $1 a liter. Yeah. Everybody's going to think it's a deal.
Yeah. So this is, Dr. Mike, this is Danny Bryson's platform. He's going to come in and say like, Danny, what are you going to do about the gas prices?
I'm going to drop it. Yeah. If we can get $1 a liter, I don't know if that's possible. $1.50 a liter. We're going to get that to you now.
Wow. $1.50 a liter.
Yep.
Wow.
$1.50 a liter.
Wow. Where do I vote?
I think that's brilliant, Dr. Mike. If we could just trick the American public into accepting the system by believing that it makes things
cheaper. Do you have a role in the cabinet for Dr. Mike?
Oh, for sure.
The Surgeon General?
Yeah, why not?
I'm there. I'll take that as a bucket list item.
Okay. And then also on last week's episode, we talked about our top story was Pete Davidson going to space, part of Blue Origin. And now all of a sudden, Pete Davidson is not going to space.
So the launch was postponed, if I read this correctly a while ago. And that he just didn't reschedule is what it sounded like. He saw it as a way to get out.
Yeah. So did Pete Davidson really want to go to space, do you think?
No, because if you want to go to space and they reschedule that flight, you're on that flight. That's the person who really wants
like, SNL is back this week. Like, God forbid they can't do one SNL without Pete Davidson.
It is interesting that,
he plays so many characters.
He was willing to go, right? He probably wanted an out. You know, like when you don't want to go to a party at someone's house and then something happens and you're like, oh, my goodness. Do you think he was just so relieved? He's like, finally. I don't have to go to space. Really dreading that.
I mean, but why was he going in the first place?
I don't know. I never saw an explanation as to why he was on that ship to begin with. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's trying to work onto the Musk ship, get up there way high, proper orbit.
So is that I know you said you would rather go in that one. Is it better to be rolling with Musk than Bezos?
A million percent better.
See, I mean, if you remember, I contributed to this story after you guys spoke about it. You spoke about Pete Davidson and who's he dating and like Kanye West's wife or something?
Kim Kardashian. Right. Yeah.
And what I reminded you of is that Musk supported Kanye running for president.
That's yes.
Right. So they have like a bond together. They have like this presidential bond. And so I think that's why Pete Davidson wanted to go on the giant blue.
This was an FU to Kanye.
Makes sense. It's a tie-in.
Mm-hmm. But then when they realized that the other one went so high, he was like, I'm not really giving an FU to Kanye because then Kanye's going to go on Musk and he's going to be able to Trump me.
Exactly.
And then it's going to be like, I've been totally trumped by this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is SNL new this weekend? No, I don't even think it is. So why can't Pete Davidson go? What else does he have going on? He's just like going to like In-N-Out Burger with Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, but you get lovesick early on in those relationships, and it's like important to always be there.
Yeah.
And
Dr. Mike, would you go to space?
I mean, yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, okay.
I mean, hold on.
Bucket list.
No, you know what? It's not. I think
you wouldn't even get in Danny's helicopter.
Right. I think I would go to space on. I would go to space on one of these like 60-mile up ones that then just comes down, like the Blue Horizon, because I don't really know if that's actually space. Mm-hmm. But I definitely like back in the days of like the Challenger and stuff, and like it used to be like you have a 5% chance of instant death if you get on a spaceship to go to space. And right. So I'm just not convinced that I really want to do it that much. You know, if you asked, it's hard to say no, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, space seems like, I guess, the final frontier, but I have all these questions about like what space does to your body and like,
oh, all sorts of bad things.
Yeah.
I find it so hard to, a lot of these things that I don't really understand about like space. If you're in zero gravity, how's your blood moving? How's the blood going back? Like, it's just, if like, you know, if there's no gravity and your heart pumps, how come your body isn't just like being jettisoned from your heart pumping all over the place?
It's a good question.
That's an interesting question because it is putting out some energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are definitely health dangers and risks with but we've had people up there in orbit for a year and they're still alive poking around. So, right. I mean, I could go up for a couple days and probably be okay.
Have you ever been to the Space Museum?
When I was a little kid, yes.
Like those outfits, those spaceships, they look like they're made out of tinfoil, right? And those outfits, although like Elon Musk has the coolest outfits, but they do not look like they're going to protect you when like -300 and +200-degree temperature. Like,
yeah.
I'd just be very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. Sounds like he's a maybe. Put him on the list. Maybe.
All right, Danny, are you ready to launch us to your ball? Oh,
I will take you to orbit way, way up there.
All right. Dr. Mike, is this your favorite part of News AF?
I mean, it's a pretty entertaining part of News AF. Okay. What did Liz call it? I mean, she said like,
I don't know. I didn't listen to the episode. Liz was on.
Really?
I listened to half of it because you demanded it. And then it was just one of those things that kind of like I got halfway through and then moved on.
Yeah. Turn it off with the kids. It was too inappropriate.
It was pretty funny. I'm pretty sure they were like, you know, Nicole was like, we got to go to Danny's bolt hole. And she's like, you mean his butthole?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not really his butthole we're going to? It's like, it was pretty funny. That's why I said, I have a urethra and you have a bolt hole.
Yeah. NSFW when it comes to Liz and all those girls.
All right. Bolt hole. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, blast off.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Okay.
Kind of nice hearing Tyson's voice.
Yeah, that's nice to hear his voice.
What if he talked like that?
Yeah. Wait, in what way?
Sing-songy. Yeah. But like just that sweet like, rock and like roll
if
song?
We were in a musical, News AF the musical.
Oh, yeah. Maybe musical. That's what he's working on.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's locked himself away in a room, a dark room.
Maybe he's going to come out and be like, "Guy, we did it, guys. I've got the script. News AF the musical.
That'd be amazing."
Yeah. Well, keep our fingers crossed.
All right. So we have talked about flavor pens, if you'll remember. The Japanese are developing their advanced technology to bring us all the possible flavors.
You know the flavor pen, Dr. Mike?
I've heard it. Yep.
Yeah.
And then we have virtual reality. We've got the metaverse not taking off, but it's there. Mm-hmm. And people are just trying to find ways to immerse us in anywhere other than where we are right now. Because for some reason, it's important not to be here. And so naturally, someone has developed virtual smell, virtual reality smell. Mm-hmm. So want to smell in virtual reality. I would like that. I currently still can't smell very well. And so if I could smell in virtual reality, that'd be great. But it actually is just a device. And I don't know if you guys remember, this article talks about it. They did try smelling in a theater. I want to say a couple of times they would release scents, which actually seems like a great idea. Like, could you imagine if there was a forest scene, you know, a dark forest scene in a haunted movie, and they kind of put in that musky, you know, forest odor that would really add to the whole vibe of the horror.
Yeah,
film.
But I feel like there'd be so many times when it would be like an unpleasant odor and you're like eating popcorn and it's like, I think that most of the smells would be negative smells.
Okay, well, I guess you're not.
Like, how many times are you watching a movie about like a bakery?
Oh, yeah, or a cookie factory, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Okay, so
yeah, that would be good.
Movies are more prone to the smell.
When you go to like the E.T. ride at Universal Studios, it has a smell. Right?
And intentional?
No, it has like the E.T. smell.
What and does E.T. smell?
I think
like?
There's like flowers, right? I don't think E.T. has a smell.
I don't know if it smells like E.T. the critter, but it's like E.T. the forest smell. Maybe it's a little eucalyptus, but it's like it has its own smell.
Because E.T. seems kind of damp. I don't think he's going to smell.
Yeah, that's what I think. Kind of swampy.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like he must smell like a bearded dragon.
Well, the smell adds. What I'm trying to say, the smell adds to the experience, and why not put it in virtual reality? And so some people are working on a device that supposedly you wear close to your nose, it looks like. It's a very strange-looking device. And it mimics you pulling a scent close. So their demo is pulling a rose close to you. You can smell it strong, and then when you move it away from you, you can smell it faint. And I kind of think that's an interesting idea, but just as you guys have pointed out, and I hadn't considered, there are some smells you do not want. And especially you don't want to linger. Like if you were to watch The Labyrinth starring David Bowie, could you imagine like the bog of internal stench having that on film for like 15 or on the video for 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Retching in your seat.
Right.
So it has a place, and that place is around smells that are delightful, not so much rotten.
Yeah, maybe like Christmas movies be nice. You have like peppermint, but for the most part.
But I assume you're going to need like cartridges, right?
Yeah, I don't know what their technology is. It's got like a little hose going in. It's probably a lot like the flavor pen for the nose, and it's supposed to just allow the smell to come and go as it shows up on the screen. Which I guess could be great. It would be interesting once you have the whole sim suit on, you know, with all the appropriate stimulants and there's stimulation all over the body. Then you're smelling it, you're seeing it. Now, when I go outside to hike, I won't see anyone on the trail because they'll all be in their house, in their pod, experiencing it in virtual reality. So finally, I'll get what I want, and that is a completely empty trailhead.
So, Dr. Mike, have you done any research in the field of teledildonics?
Well,
where is this coming from?
Yeah. That's a topic that Danny has interest in.
The answer is I have looked into it a lot.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I think we've talked about it. We talked about it years ago, I think, on one of my first podcasts with you. And it's really a fascinating field. It's so it was originally made, I want to say, for like army soldiers, right? Like, they're on the army bases and the wives are at home. And it's a, you know,
is this really the history of it, Dr. Mike?
Yeah, I think it is, huh?
Wow.
It makes sense. Like these guys that are risking their lives should be able to communicate with their wives. And it goes back to like secretions and stuff. Like there should be a safe way with your significant other to bond, you know? And it's a, you know, but since then it has evolved. And like, you know, I think one of the things we talked about, there was one, I can't remember what it was called, but there was one device that like, I saw it on
I think this was something got hacked.
There was one on HBO. HBO had a segment about teledildonics.
Yes.
And we were watching it. It was like real something, right? Like, yeah. And Barry and I were watching it one night, and I was like, that seems amazing. And I went to Amazon and looked it up, and there were a bunch of like one-star reviews, and it was like, my husband used this and got electrocuted.
Are you sure that wasn't a feature and not a flaw?
So I was like, well, I mean, this is years ago, but I was like, this is not ready for prime time. But like the concept, like it's an amazing concept. It's like, especially during COVID and during the, you know,
sure,
the world we live in, like with, I don't know. I mean, I could go on.
The truth is all these things are simultaneously being developed, right? Like the smell thing, the goggles, the teledildonics.
Where it's all going.
But eventually they'll all be brought together like Voltron into this like suit of pleasure and sensory overload that then will be peddled to the masses. And that's where we'll be. I mean, right now it seems so disjointed, everything everywhere, all, you know.
Do you think it'll be a suit, Danny, or we'll just have the brain chip? Where do you think it's going?
I think it's a suit.
Oh, I think a suit, definitely.
I think the brain chip is just maybe 500 years in the future, they've got the brain chip. You know, they've finally perfected Neuralink. But for us, for the next 100 years, if we're lucky at 85, we can hopefully have a suit to remind us of what it felt like to be young. But maybe Neuralink in the far
the suit. You got to put it on all the time. What's the cleaning situation on? I don't think the suit is practical.
It has an alcohol purge. You just hit a button and it bleeds alcohol.
People are going to get sweaty in a suit.
Oh, it's dishwasher safe.
Yeah, dishwasher.
How many
safe,
suits
that's
are you
right.
gonna have? I think it's like one-time use on these suits.
No, you need two or three suits, and each one does something different.
Each one is gonna cost like $80,000.
Yeah, well, that's 80,000 government credits that you just have to work off.
Have you guys seen the TV show Upload?
Yes,
I know of it. Yeah,
season. Yeah,
there's a second season, and they have a suit in there.
The suit, okay. Maybe the suit is coming. All right.
That's right. Well, they try to be intimate because he's passed on, right? And they she puts on a suit. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
She has a suit. She's in the bathtub. What?
Yeah. Is she eating?
Rob, what makes you think?
She is eating. She is eating.
I just
eating.
Thought that this was like such a meeting of the minds. I feel like that, Danny, you are like one of, one of the top people on the teledildonics beat. Dr. Mike was here.
By the way, I love talking about this teledildonics because no one knows what it is. And then they all go out and do research. I've had two or three of my friends are like, what is that? And then they go out and they're shocked by what they find. They didn't know
like
that.
Like that Amazon one-star reviewer, right?
Yeah, they're shocked by the one star.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of disabled people out there. And so there's a company that, for premature ejaculation and for sexual dysfunction, I recommend – there's a company called, I think, Hot Octopus. And they have a toy called like the Pulse 3. And they have a lot of these, like they have a really good blog and they write a lot of articles that their people do about like teledildonics and stuff like that. It's interesting because there's a lot of, disabled people out there, people with handicaps that really benefit from these types of modalities in terms of sexual intercourse or sexual intimacy. Intimacy is a really important part of human's life. And if you're like, it can be very difficult in certain situations, if there are things out there like teledildonics to help, I think it's really worthwhile investigating.
Gosh, Dr. Mike really makes me feel immature. I'm approaching everything from a 13-year-old perspective. And here he is with a professional.
He's a medical professional.
He's a medical professional. And he's,
Well, all right. Dr. Mike, thank you so much for coming and joining us for News AF.
Yeah, I loved it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Please keep, you have such an eye for the News AF stories.
I mean, are you inviting me back next week?
Well, we're going to have some more guests here, unless we hear back from Tyson, but who knows at this point?
No, I'm happy to be here whenever you guys need me. If you want, like, I'm here for you. Okay. Yes. I love you guys do a great job, and it really is like, you know, my wife thinks I listen to all these like crazy news story websites, and really I just listen to News AF and then talk about it all week. It sounds really intelligent. Like, it sounds like I you know, I have a whole slew of knowledge.
Yeah. We try. That's what we aim to do. Dr. Mike, do you have anything you want to tell people to check out?
No, I don't think so. I think, I mean, you guys know where to find me.
Well, you like, mentioned a podcast a couple times. What is it?
Oh, I don't have a podcast.
Oh, I thought you did.
Listens to podcasts. Yeah.
I listen. And
Dr. Mike has a YouTube video with 2 million views.
Oh, I do have one video with like 2 million views.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, right? It's like, I mean, it's, I think there's a certain, you know, there are numerics behind YouTube, and if one of your video gets picked up, it just becomes crazy, crazy busy. And we did like a couple videos and they became crazy popular, and then we didn't do any more videos, and now our videos are back to our normal, you know.
Mm-hmm. Gotta keep up. Use it or lose it, Dr. Mike.
Gotta secrete those videos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. It's, you guys can find me Twitter, Instagram, or just call me on the phone.
Call you on the phone. Oh my God.
You text me. It's pretty easy to find me. Somebody called me on my cell phone today asking for a vasectomy.
A random person?
Random person. He's like, my buddy gave me a phone number. Can I get a vasectomy? And I'm like, I said to him, I'm like, I'll meet you at the corner. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what?
In the back of the car with you? Some,
like, some what are you talking about? Tools? Call my office. And I said to him, who did you get my phone number from? And I have no idea who that person is either. Like, I was like, I don't know who that person is either. And I have no, like, they're not in my phone. So please just call my office. And that was it.
That was it.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
We aim to please. But thank you guys for having me. Seriously, yes. It was great to meet you, Danny.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Mike. Danny, what's coming up for you?
Oh, just pumping out secreting videos. Just Fast and Furious, mediocre amateur on YouTube. And then I do gear reviews as well, which would probably bore most people. But hey, if Dr. Mike's is looking for a new shoe, I do review shoes, running shoes and stuff like that.
Oh.
So, yeah. And then he could go and watch my rim to rim to rim, and he can see how horrible it was for me. I did a terrible job of it. Threw up endlessly, puked nonstop the whole way back up the North Rim. It's a real horror. You know what? That's a good example of not wanting to have a sense of smell in virtual reality if you were watching my video. So anyway, yeah, you can check all that out. And Rob?
It's really a good sell. I definitely want to do that.
Yeah, and we're just, you know, banging out the Survivor podcast. Dr. Mike, thumbs up for Survivor 42?
Yeah, I mean, I think I love some of the characters and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm very sad that Zach went home so early.
Yes, that Dr. Mike convinced a young man to apply for Survivor, and then he went out there and was the first person voted off of the show.
He came to my party and he was like, oh, I'm gonna go on Survivor, and then he's gone.
That's still great that you, I mean, he'll never have that kind of experience again, probably.
It's true. Do you think that other guy looks like me?
You know, who's to say who looks like who?
Yeah. Oh, come on. That guy, what's his name? Zahir?
Omir.
Yeah. He looks like me.
Yeah. I could see it. Okay.
All
right. Dr. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Danny, great job once again. We'll be back again with more News AF next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.